We did a survey of 1,900 federal employees, contractors, retirees, and we got some very interesting responses on some of the questions that we asked about trust. For example, 70% of the federal employees responding rate the level of trust they have in the government at or below a 5. And this is on a scale from 1 to 5. That's not so good. Not so good for the federal government. Less than 3% told us that they have almost or, you know, full trust in the government. And 90% of respondents answered yes to the question, does the government need to rebuild trust with employees? I think those numbers are pretty, you know, pretty crazy when you start to think about them.
Anecdotally, even, do you get a sense of why people are saying that? I mean, what is going on in their offices?
Yeah, you know, Emily, it's the stuff that we've been talking about for the past few years. It's the pay freezes. It's the furloughs. It's the shutdown. And it's, you know, how they feel about how they think Congress has been treating them as federal employees. You know, we've seen a lot of different legislation, whether it's passed or not, because not all of it has passed, as we know. A lot of legislation has been introduced in the past few years that would negatively impact federal employees. And so they just feel really beat down. And all of that, all of those morale issues, really play into trust.
And I think it's telling that when I looked at the survey results, originally we'd had about 1,600 responses, but I think we ended up with more than 2,000 by the time it was tallied.
About 1,900.
Yeah, and what struck me was that 500 or so of those respondents actually took the time to write a comment about trust. And
absolutely.
I think that in itself says a lot.
We got a ton of comments about trust, and I brought some of those with me today to share with you guys and with our listeners.
We do share.
One person said, I don't see it happening anytime soon, and that's this restoring trust in government issue. Not when one administration after the other, regardless of party, puts people in management positions who not only don't understand the civil service workforce, but in many cases treat us as mere drones who are only in the government because we couldn't get, quote, real jobs. And another person said, this has not just been going on the last few years. I worked 25 years for a large federal agency, and in that time, they spent millions of dollars on two studies about 12 years apart as to what the management was doing wrong. The exact same issues turned up both times. They treated their customers like gold and their personnel like, well, not gold, not by any means. You can't trust supervisors who do that. That was more than 15 years ago, by the way.
And I want to say something about that, because as much as we can talk about these external factors like the pay freezes or how Congress talks about the federal government, I mean, ultimately, that doesn't need to play into your relationship with your office mate or with your manager, with the big boss in the agency. That, I think, is much more about how they handle these issues and how they treat you, which is what that person gets at. And we heard the Merit Systems Protection Board Chairman Susan Sway Grunman talk about this as part of this series. And she was saying it was really the question of transparency and communication. When those things aren't handled right, that's what fractures trust as opposed to any of these external factors. And I don't know if any of the other people
sort of a ground level phenomenon.
Yeah, I mean, it really is about the relationship and the communication and how you can own up and handle the difficulties.
Well, speaking of communication, we did get an interesting response from one person, and their beef was with OPM specifically. And they said, this was a computerized response from OPM to my disabled spouse on a simple question about an annuity. Quote, you will receive a response to your specific questions within the next 30 to 40 business days. However, please be advised that more complex issues or those requiring the retrieval of a case file may increase the response time to 40 to 60 business days. They should add, yes, we realize this is slovenly service that would be a disgrace to a corrupt third world dictatorship. Feel free to put your complaint in a letter, which will be equally ignored.
Ooh, there's some serious cynicism there, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I think you're right, Emily. This all goes back to communication. Perhaps federal employees wouldn't feel so bad about their jobs or, you know, morale wouldn't be quite so low if maybe managers or their supervisors were showing more leadership And, you know, what, how do you lead in these times? We've had people on the air. You guys have talked to them, like you said, about what managers can do. Because let's be honest, managers are facing this too. You know, they're feeling probably sure. some of the same morale issues. But what can those managers do when this is happening? There are certain things that they can do, and maybe they're just not doing them.
Julia Ziegler is Federal News Radio's web manager, and a lot of the survey concerned whistleblowers, which is maybe the ultimate issue of both trust and mistrust.
Yeah, yeah. So when we asked people about whistleblowers, only 15% believe that there are enough protections currently in place for whistleblowers. And 70% believe that intelligence employees, those in the intelligence community, should have the same whistleblower protections as other feds. So I wanted to share some of their comments as well. One, when we asked if they feel protected enough to report waste, fraud, and abuse, half said no, a quarter said somewhat, and these were some of the responses they left.
And just to clarify, are these mm-hmm. people within the intelligence community or all the survey respondents?
This was all survey respondents, yep.
Okay.
One person said, in one person, I did, meaning that they this department I am at now, I'm not sure of yet. And, of course, they're talking about whether or not they felt that they had enough protections in one agency that they felt like they did. Another person said, it would depend on how I blew the whistle and to whom. So, again, I think that's it's an interesting point there, right? I mean, if you can trust your specific supervisor with information like that, then you're probably going to be more willing to do so. You know, as this person says, maybe they can't trust everyone. And then a third person said, quote, don't trust the system. Who in their right mind would want to experience what Thomas Drake experienced? And we actually had a Q&A with Thomas Drake, and I urge people to check it out, too. It's a very interesting take and behind-the-scenes look at someone who's been there and whose experience did not go as maybe they would have expected when they blew the whistle.
Yeah, two things about that interview that really struck me was, one, he said that this was a choice he made. He knew
yes.
the risks he was taking. So he knew it would be difficult for him and possibly career ending. And the other is that he just thought there was no way his former employer, the NSA, could be reformed, which quite
yeah.
strong words.
We did have an interview this week during the series by Tom Devine from the Government Accountability Project, and he was talking specifically about whistleblowers, Emily, and how he believes that, you know, they're kind of being treated like they have the plague, you know, and he said they don't have to be. You know,
and
a
this
lot
is
of,
after legislation has been passed.
Correct. Yeah, you know, a lot of whistleblowers, many of them, as he says in his column, don't come forward with the intention of, you know, bad or ill intentions. They're coming forward because they really believe that they're trying to help their agency, do its mission, complete its mission. And so, you know, his point is, you know, let's embrace them and let's figure out how to work with whistleblowers instead of, you know, kind of shunning them or pushing them off into the corner or worse, firing them.
It's almost like if you're a whistleblower, it's jumping off the edge of a ship at night, and you don't know whether you're going to jump into
yeah.
water or to boiling oil because you can't see it.
Right, shark-infested waters or, you know, ones
or
with tadpoles.
Or a life raft, yeah.
Right.
So, I give them credit when it's a legitimate case.
Yeah.
And I just want to plug the series. Everything is at federalnewsradio.com, and you can search
Trust.
Okay, that makes mm-hmm. it easy. But moving on, you've got some exciting things coming up ahead. I wonder if you could talk about those.
We do, yeah. Actually, next week we've got a great online chat scheduled with OPM Director Catherine Archuleta. It's Wednesday at 11 a.m., and I want to urge people to go to our website, federalnewsradio.com, register for free right now. And this is a great opportunity for you to ask Catherine Archuleta your own questions. She's going to be sitting in front of her computer at 11 a.m. next Wednesday. You can submit questions, and she'll answer them in real time. Great opportunity. It's a one-on-one with the OPM director, so don't
miss
out.
So maybe that commenter with the disabled spouse can say, hey, it's been 50 days.
Absolutely. See if that person can get a response then.